series of questions from Dr. Ravi Shankar Sangam, who gives his location as Sydney, Australia. He appears to, from his questions, he appears to be a Arya Samaji. The subject is the few basic differences between the Gita, which, parenthesis, child, close parenthesis, and Vedas, parenthesis, mother, close parenthesis. Although I don't know where it's stated that the Gita is the child and the Vedas is the mother, except in this line which just came from him, which is not authoritative. I don't know any statement where it's... We do have the statement, Sarva Upanishado Gavo. So, the Gita is, in this analogy, is accepted to be like the cow, which is like the mother. The cow is one of the mothers, which is representative of all the Upanishads. No, not that verse. I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for, there's a quote from Gopal Tapani. Look up in the... Look up in the scriptures quoted from. Does it give that? I can't remember it. Oh, I see. Where does that come? Okay, question number one, it's not really a question, but it's a statement. In the Vedas, God has no name like Ram or Krishna, nor does he have a wife or children, no mention of caste by birth. Well, there in the Gopal Tapani, Nrsimha Tapani, Rama Tapani Upanishads, which are part of the Vedas, Krishna and Ram are directly mentioned. And for that matter, the Puranas are stated within the Vedas, within the Chandogya Upanishad, to be the fifth Veda. So the Puranas definitely speak of Rama and Krishna in great detail. Mentioning the wives, no mention of caste by birth. Well, caste is not mentioned anywhere in Shastra. Caste is a misunderstanding. The term caste came from a Portuguese word, which is and it's based on a misunderstanding of the Varna system. Gita says everything is governed by karma, telling the world is full of maya. Well, Gita says many things. Krishna, ultimately, the Gita points to that everything is under the control of Krishna. Maya dhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Everything is ultimately controlled. Everything in this world is ultimately controlled by Krishna. Devi esha gunamai mama maya duratya. This material energy is under the control of Krishna. So, if everything is governed by karma, that means that we have no free will, which is a silly statement, because karma means the... Well, it has several meanings. It means action. But action is taken volitionally. One chooses to act in various ways. And then one gets the result. So if you say, well, I am destined to do this and this and that and that, but you have free will also. Otherwise you couldn't create karmic reactions. There'd be no meaning to it. There'd be no meaning to anything unless there was some free will. So the Gita says many things, but ultimately Krishna says, Sarvab Guhyatamam Bhuya Srinume Paramambachaha. Did you find that? No. So, well, you could look it up in here. Look up Tapani. So, to say that Gita says everything is governed by karma, telling that the world is full of maya, it's not incorrect, but there's so much more to be understood apart from, I mean, it's not the whole message of Gita. Okay, here's a quote from the, I'm not looking for this. Yeah, here's a quote from Gopal Tapani, Upanishad, which is part of the Vedas. Eko vashi saravaga krishnaha. That's a quote from the Vedas. That everything is under the control of Krishna. And there's so much description in the Gopal Tapani of the supreme abode, where the supreme personality is called Krishna. He is the supremely merciful Lord. He has expanded himself into millions and millions of plenary expansions. Gopal Tapani also says, Sachidananda Rupaya Krishnaya, offering obeisances unto Krishna, who is the very form of Sachidananda. Also from Gopal Tapani, Tamekam Govinda, you are Krishna, you are Govinda, the pleasure of the cows and the senses, Sachidananda Vigraham, and your form is transcendental, full of knowledge, bliss and eternality. This is from Gopal Tapani Upanishad, which is from the Uttarava Veda. There it's also said, Yo brahmanang vidadhati purvang yo vai vedang chagapi atisma krishnaha. It was Krishna who in the beginning instructed Brahma in Vedic knowledge and who disseminated Vedic knowledge in the past. And of course there are also there's Narayana Upanishad. The opening verse of the Gopal Tapani is Satchidananda Rupaya Krishnaya Klishta Karine Namo Vedanta Vedyaya Guruve Buddhi Sakshine. I offer my respectful obeisance to Krishna, who has a transcendental form of bliss, eternity and knowledge. I offer my respect to him because understanding him means understanding the Vedas, and he is therefore the supreme spiritual master. There in the Gopal Tapani also it's stated, Krishna vai paramang daivatam. Krishna is the supreme devata, the supreme worshipable Lord. So like this, there are many such statements, particularly in Gopal Tapani. Then, to get back to this. The Vedas are full of enjoyment during most of the life. I'm not exactly sure what this is, what this means. It's promoting enjoyment. Yes, that's also stated in Bhagavad Gita, that the Vedas, they mostly encourage enjoyment in this world, but Krishna in Bhagavad Gita points out that this Triguna Vishaya Veda Nistrai Gunyo Bhavarjuna, the Vedas mostly deal with the subject of the three modes of material natures, but Krishna tells Arjuna, you should be free from these three modes. The Vedas speak of material enjoyment by performing sacrifices and going to the heavenly planets, which Krishna describes that people who do so, tetam bhuktva swargalokam vishalam kshine martye shine punye martye loke vishanti evam trai dharma anuprapana gatagatam kama kama labhante. He describes that people go to the heavenly planets by performing sacrifices and so on, but when the results of their pious activities are exhausted, they come back again to this sphere of death, of quick death. And in this way they come and go up and down between the heavenly planets and the earthly planets according to their mundane desires. But as Krishna points out, in Bhagavad Gita, this material world is the happiness of this material world is inextricably mixed with distress, and the very nature of this material world is full of distress. So the Vedas, they talk about material enjoyment. That is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the topmost Vedic literature, that these enjoyments, they're offered as a bait to get people to take to the Vedic path, because anyway people are addicted to material enjoyment. So that regulates them and gives them the opportunity to be purified. But really material enjoyment, it's no fun at all. And it's inextricably mixed with distress, and therefore the real purpose of the Vedas is to bring us to pure devotion to Krishna, which how we can actually be happy. Vedas speak about yajñas. Yeah, but that's true. But the kind of yajñas that the Vedas speak about can't be performed properly in the present day due to lack of qualified brahmanas. Brahmanas have to be very pure in their activities. Their consciousness should be pure. The ingredients should be pure. It's very difficult to get proper ghee for performing the Vedic sacrifices. Should be from proper, well-protected cows. I mean, the very fact that you're living in Australia means, according to the Vedic tradition, you're living among lechers and you can't follow the Vedic process. You've already fallen. According to the strict Vedic process, just by going outside the land of Dharma, then you're already disqualified from any yajñas. And actually, even living in India, you are also, because India is not ruled by Dharma. Now it's ruled by meat eaters, and there are slaughterhouses everywhere. Therefore, sarva jagga hoite nama, what is it? Sarva jagga hoite sankirtan jagyasha. All the yajñas, all the best of all is nama sankirtan. That is practical for this age. In other ages, yajñas could be performed, but it's not practical. Then the next seva, danam, is only, he says in the Vedas, this is mentioned, help to kill humans and all living creatures, environmentally friendly, prohibits killing animals. No sacrifice of horse or cow in yajna. Well, actually, it is in the Vedas. So the Ashvamedha is given the cow killing sacrifice. Seva and dana is only, the service and charity is only obliquely referred to in the Gita. It says too much on Kshatriyas and Brahmanas' duties, but not much on Vaishyas and Shudras. It unnecessarily speaks about castes by birth. Excuse me, this is extremely offensive to give your judgment on Bhagavad Gita, yourself being a conditioned soul who is not self-realized. Bhagavad Gita is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and is respected and worshipped by all class of Vedic followers, except maybe some people like Arya Samajis, who are actually very offensive. Bhagavad Gita does not speak about caste by birth. You don't know what the term caste means. As I just said, it's a concept which is introduced by Westerners who misunderstood the Varna system. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks about four divisions of human society. Chartar Varnyang Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. Krishna says that these four divisions of human society are created by me. according to the qualities and work of people. He does not say according to birth. So that is a misunderstanding. And you say that the Gita speaks more about Kshatriya's and Brahmana's duties, but who are you to judge? Who are you? Well, what made you so great that you can pontificate about Bhagavad Gita? You have a better opinion than Bhagavad Gita. Who's going to listen to you? Why should anyone listen to you? What's your contribution to the theological and philosophical upliftment of human society? Compare what you think, is that going to be still extend in human society 5,000 years later? It's not even extend even now. But what Krishna said is still being followed even now. So you should know your position before you make such audacious statements. Itihasas, Puranas, Bhagavatam are full of stories, but in the Vedas there are no stories. Again, the Puranas are accepted within the Vedas as part of the Vedas. But then often the Vedas, that's said to mean the Rigsama, Yajur, and sometimes also Atharva Veda. But the Upanishads are part of the Vedas. We have in the Upanishad stories, just like, for instance, that of Nachiketa, Satyakama. So it's not true. But even if it was true, so what? What's wrong with stories? they're not stories like Harry Potter. They're stories they're anecdotes, historical anecdotes, which help us to understand the absolute truth. As we know, many honor Veda pundits, not Gita Purana Bhagavata pundits. Maybe. What is that supposed to prove? Even if it's true. Maybe in the circles you move in. Even if many people honor Veda pundits, we have to see, are they by honoring the Veda pundits, are they advancing in and toward the highest goal of life? Are the Veda pundits themselves advancing toward the highest goal of life? And that we have to see. What is the highest goal of life? First, you should understand this. You have to die. What happens?